Hello and welcome to the wonderful world of animal behavior. I'm Angelina and I'll be your host on today's episode of Killer Whales Carousel Foraging. As the title and cover photo might suggest, we will not be talking about killer whales riding horses around a carousel, though that would be a peculiar sight. Instead, we will be talking about the amazing foraging behavior of herring-eating killer whales in Iceland and Norway. Carousel foraging is a highly vocal cooperative feeding behavior in these killer whales, and it occurs in two separate phases. The first phase is herding, and the second is feeding, and this behavior was first described by Simila and Ugarte in 1993. So why is it called carousel foraging? Well, during the herding phase, orcas swim uniformly around the herring with their white underside facing towards them. This allows them to gather the school in a tight ball and push it towards the surface. The surface then acts as a barrier to prevent the herring from escaping. During the feeding phase, killer whales then begin to form large air bubbles right beside the school and slap the school with the underside of their fluke. This is known as the tail slap, and it is a highly adapted weapon which increases efficiency in two ways. First, it combats the inertia forces. As they are large organisms, it is very difficult for them to move their body at a very fast acceleration to reach high velocities. By moving a single portion of their body, this allows them to accelerate quickly and reach a high velocity. It is also a tactic against the confusion effect of the herring school, where a killer whale cannot differentiate a single target within the herring, so instead they aim their tails towards the densest portion of the school, suggested by Dominici and others in 2000. Many have suggested that this direct contact between the killer whale's fluke and the herring isn't the sole cause of herring debilitation. For example, in 2005, Simon and others described the cavitation phenomenon as a possibility in this behavior. You might be wondering, what even is cavitation? Well, cavitation is the phenomenon where a drastic drop in ambient pressure causes the release of dissolved gases. As gas bubbles collapse upon return to typical ambient pressure, a loud, distinguishable sound pulse is produced. As the resulting peak frequency of the killer whale's tail slap is consistent with that of cavitation, and the typical tail slap is performed within the optimal zone for cavitation, Simon and others in 2005 continue to suggest the possibility of the cavitation phenomenon. Nevertheless, there's also other factors such as steep pressure gradients, high levels of water acceleration, particle movements, and contact with the other fish that cause the sensory overload and loss of buoyancy control in debilitated herring. Interestingly, their physical contact and movement around the herring isn't the only factor in causing the dense formation of these fish, at least not for all killer whales. Researchers such as Simon and others in 2006 and Samara in 2015 have both characterized a food-associated call produced by the killer whales. This herding call is at the perfect frequency that resonates with the swim bladder of herring. Simon and others in 2006 called this I-36, a unique 3-second low-frequency herding call, significantly correlated to tail slaps and always occurring within 1 second prior. It is not a communicative pulse, as it does not fall within the optimal frequency for herring in orcas, but rather within the hearing range for herring and, as mentioned before, their swim bladder. Essentially, this herding call may further elicit the anti-predatory response of schooling and cause vibrations of the bladder, which further inhibit mobility and optimize the herring's orientation for the orca's tail slap. Interestingly, these calls were not observed by Norwegian populations of herring-eating orcas, and only Icelandic. This suggests possible cultural transmission, where specific groups pass on information and teachings between and within generations. Both suggest that this diversion in feeding behavior is likely due to the herring crash, which caused these populations to further split and decrease contact between. Ricard in 2017 also suggested that it might be a further adaptation to differing light conditions and optimizing foraging success in the dark. Further work should be done, however, to test these hypotheses and test the variance in fitness between these orca groups, whether they are performing the I-36 calls and whether they do not. This might include measurements of fish assimilation, size, and herring density successfully hoarded to determine the fitness benefits of the I-36 herding call. Thank you for listening. Join us next time.